If you have your copy of God's Word with you this evening, open up to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, I'll read verses 3 and 4 before Brother Adam speaks to us this evening. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality, that each of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor.
Couple of things briefly before we get into our study tonight. First of all, this is one of my favorite times of the year. I call it gospel meeting time, gospel meeting season. It's exciting. There aren't a lot going on that we know of, but there are a few. And one of those starts a week from today over in Ackerley. There's a flyer hanging on the bulletin board, and just wanted to make sure that you were aware of that. I think it's also in the bulletin. Brother Todd Clippard is coming from Alabama to conduct that meeting. And if you can make it to Ackerley next week, that will be a time that will bless you. And I'm just throwing this out there. If there's anyone who might be interested in riding one of the church vans over there next Monday or Tuesday evening, then let me know. And we'll put that together and we'll ride the van over there to that meeting. So again, that's not this week. That starts a week from today. So that would be next Monday evening and Tuesday evening. Those times start at 7 o'clock, I believe. And so if you're interested in going and you'd like to ride on the van, we can arrange that and be happy to do so. I also wanted to make mention, some had asked about Sister Sheree. I asked Karen tonight, and Sheree has gone to visit David and Bree in Mathis, and many of you already know that, I'm sure. But do pray for her as she returns back home tomorrow. And again, we miss her when she's away. We miss Mike when he is away. And so please continue to keep them in your prayers and the good work that Mike is doing as he is busy traveling out and about and preaching the gospel. So we're thankful for him and his good work. We're looking tonight at the will of God and its connection to sanctification, as you can see. Now again, we've been looking at the will of God and its connection to several different things. And I appreciate Brother Steve and the songs that were led tonight and kind of helping to prepare our minds in thinking about giving ourselves completely to God, making my will line up with his will, and not asking God to line his will up with mine. We need to make sure that we get this right as we're living our lives. Again, as I mentioned this morning, when we're talking about the will of God, a phrase found 23 times in the New Testament, we're talking about the fact that God had a plan and continues to have a plan. God does not deal in time as you and I do, but he inhabits eternity. God always was and he will always be. And we need to understand that he knows exactly how all of this will play itself out, and it will do so absolutely according to his will, according to his plan. Again, we're going to be in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 in just a moment, but I would ask you to be turning in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 10, where I really want to begin tonight, and be reminded of these thoughts from Hebrews chapter 10. But as you're turning, I would also remind you that when we're talking about the will of God, we're talking about the desire of God, the mind of God. This is God's plan, and these are his desires. This is how he would desire us to produce our lives, how to live our lives. Again, we do so according to his desire. So you have plan, and you have desire, and these things come together as we think about the will of God. Now, again, we've been discussing different and various things regarding and revolving around the will of God, but tonight, I want you to think about sanctification. Let's begin by just thinking about its importance, the importance of sanctification. I'll define the term in just a moment, but I want you to think about it in connection to the will of God, in connection to the plan that God has always had in place. We started where I think you must start when it comes to the will of God, and that is with Jesus. And in Hebrews chapter 10, these words are attributed, as it were, to Jesus, where he says, "Behold, I have come to do your will, O God." And he takes away the first covenant, that he may establish the second covenant, his covenant. And verse number 10 says, "By that will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all." Sanctification is tied to the will of God. Sanctification, our sanctification, the ability to be set apart for dedicated service to God is tied to Jesus. It's tied to the cross. It's tied to the fact that Jesus came and died on the cross so that you and I can be set apart by God, dedicated to His service. How important is that? How important is it to be sanctified? How important is it to be set apart by God and dedicated to His service? Well, this is how important it is. Think about the term. The term in the Greek language is neither here nor there in our minds. We can go to heaven without knowing this root word and the root meaning of the word, but it does help us, I think. If you look at this word in the original language, translated sanctification, other places translated holy, the root word in the beginning had an idea of reverence or awe. And so when it was mentioned of something that was upheld in reverence or awe. But later it came to signify something that had been cleansed from contamination. Now listen, this is going to get you. I want you to know this is what we're dealing with. Originally it was something that was held in reverence or awe. And then it came to talk about something that had been cleansed from contamination. And eventually, those who now look at God in reverence and awe now have been set apart as those who have been cleansed from contamination. Who has been cleansed from contamination? Christians. Those who have been cleansed of their sin. Those are now set apart for service to God. When we think about sanctification, that's exactly what we're talking about tonight. And it is important that we understand that term and what is behind it. Again, it came to speak of those who now are clean, having looked to God and standing in awe of Him and being made clean. I'm asking you again, how important is that? Well, if you turn over just a little bit more to Hebrews chapter 12 and look at verse number 14, notice what the Bible says. Your Bible says, pursue peace, or something like this, with all people and holiness. That's the same word translated sanctification back in chapter 10. Pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. What does that mean? That means unless I am sanctified, unless I am set apart, unless I am cleansed of sin and set apart for dedicated service to God, I will not see the Lord. That's how important sanctification is. You might recall, maybe you don't, but maybe you do. A couple of years ago, I went through a series that I called Triumphant Terms. Triumphant terms that we find in the New Testament. And one of these words of triumph is sanctification. Sanctified. Set apart for holy service to God. It is a triumphant term because we are speaking about salvation. Those who are saved are those who have been set apart by God. Now, all of that to lead into 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. There has to be some foundation laid, and Hebrews chapter 10 ties salvation to sanctification and that to the will of God. That's important. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I want to back up to verse number 1. Paul says this. He says, finally then, brethren, we urge and exhort in the Lord Jesus that you should abound more and more, just as you receive from us how you ought to walk and to please God. For you know what commandments we gave you through the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God. What Brother Thomas read a moment ago. This is the will of God, your sanctification. That you should abstain from sexual immorality, that each of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor, not in passion of lust like the Gentiles who do not know God, that no one should take advantage of and defraud his brother in this matter, because the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also forewarned you and testified. For God did not call us to uncleanness, but to holiness. Therefore, he who rejects this does not reject man, but God, who has also given us his Holy Spirit. Now, we're going to be looking a little bit further than that, but I want to just break these verses down by asking tonight three very simple questions. This is not going to be hard for us to grasp tonight, because I just want to ask it in three very simple questions. When it comes to being sanctified and living a sanctified life, that is, a life that is set apart and dedicated to God, three questions. Number one, where am I to live a sanctified life? Where? If my life is to be dedicated to God, this is the will of God, your sanctification. Where am I to live a sanctified life? Well, this is what this context tells us. Number one, you live a sanctified, a set-apart life dedicated to God in the presence of God. That's not difficult to understand, is it? You know, he's saying, you live your life like you live in the presence of God. He says in verse number one, I'm telling you, you receive from us how you ought to walk, how you ought to live, how you ought to conduct yourself, and to please God. Well, Paul's really interested in living a life that's pleasing to God. I know that because he's already talked about it in this very same letter. If you back up to chapter 2 and you look at verse number 4, Paul says, but as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, even so we speak not as pleasing men, but God who tests our hearts. He says, I'm very interested in living a life that God is pleased with. Am I? Well, there are those who are not interested in that. He talks about these Jews in verse number 15 of chapter 2. He talks about the Jews who killed both the Lord Jesus and their own prophets and have persecuted us, and they do not please God and are contrary to all men. Is it possible to live a life that is not pleasing to God? The answer is yes. That's what Paul says. These were living a life that was not pleasing to God. You see, he has set me apart. It was his will to send his son to die on the cross so that I can be forgiven of my sin, that I might be set apart from the rest of the world, that I might live a dedicated life of service to him. Where do I live that life? I live that life in the presence of God because I'm striving to be pleasing to him. Well, where else do I live that life, Paul? Well, he tells us in those same verses, in verse number 6. He says, you live a set-apart, sanctified, godly life in the presence of God's people. When you're around God's people, don't forget you're sanctified. When you're around the Christians, when you're around the church, don't forget that you have been set apart as a Christian. That's why he says in verse number 6, you're not to defraud your brethren. Don't do anything to defraud your brother. Don't do anything to harm him in any way. And then if you turn over to verse number 9, he says, here's how you ought to live. Concerning brotherly love, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. And indeed you do so toward all the brethren who are in all Macedonia, but we urge you, brethren, that you increase more and more. Now, I want to live a life of dedicated service to God when I'm with my brethren. I want my brethren to know that I know that God has sanctified, that he has set me apart. I want to provide an example that others can follow. This is the will of God, my sanctification, and so I want to live a sanctified life in the presence of God, in the presence of God's people. In fact, I want to live a sanctified life in the presence of all people. How about that? Who are we leaving out? Who's Paul leaving out? I want you to be sanctified and live a sanctified life in the presence of God, in the presence of God's people, and in the presence of those who are not God's people. You have no excuse to ever not live a sanctified life, a life that is set apart. That's why he says down in verse number 12 that you walk properly toward those who are outside. Outside where? Outside of Christ. You walk properly toward those who are outside that they may lack nothing. You live a sanctified life. This is the will of God, that you live that godly, dedicated life in the presence of all people. Oh, good. Well, you know what? I know that I'm always in the presence of God, but, you know, I'm only around God's people so many hours in a week, and I know that I spend a lot of time around those who are not God's people, but at least I get to go home at night, and at home, maybe God will say, I'll cut you some slack. Maybe you don't have to live a sanctified life in private, but No, he doesn't do that. He said, I want you to live a sanctified life even when you're in private. Verses 3 and 4. You abstain from sexual immorality, that you know how to possess your own vessel in sanctification, your body in sanctification and honor. For God did not call us to uncleanness, but in holiness. Now keep your finger there and just go back with me to the Old Testament, to Psalm 101. And notice what the psalmist says in Psalm 101, verses 2 through 4. In Psalm 101, verses 2 through 4, the psalmist says, pay attention, I will behave wisely in a perfect way. Oh, when will you come to me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. I will set nothing wicked before my eyes. I hate the work of those who fall away. It shall not cling to me. A perverse heart shall depart from me. I will not know wickedness. I will set nothing wicked before my eyes. Where? When I am in my house. That's what he says. When I am in my house, I will set nothing wicked before my eyes. When I am in my house, I will abstain from wickedness. When I am by myself, I have no excuse to do that which is against God. That's what he's saying. Don't we hear people say today, well, listen, it's not hurting anybody. It's not hurting anybody. That's just me, and that's just I'm alone, and no one can see it, and I'm not hurting anybody. No excuse. No excuse according to the Word of God. The Bible says you live a sanctified life in the presence of God. That really excludes everything else, doesn't it? But he goes on and he says, I don't care if you're in the presence of God's people, if you're in the presence of those who are not God's people, or if you're at home by yourself, you live a sanctified life. This is the will of God. Your sanctification. You have been set apart, cleansed from your sin, and you live a life of dedicated service to God because of God, because of what he's done for you, because of who he is, and because we're looking at his will and not mine. I need my will to line up with his, and it's not the other way around. This is important. Well, let me ask you a second question. I love the fact that this answer is answered. This question is answered. Because you might be tempted to say, well, okay, where am I supposed to lead a sanctified life? And I see what he says here. These are the places where I am to live a sanctified life. But why? Why? We're always asking why. You know, that question is not just limited to our young people who are so good at asking this question. Why? Don't you want to know why? Why does God expect that for me, even when I'm by myself, even when I'm in private? Why does he expect me to live a sanctified, a set-apart life dedicated to him? Because he says that pleases me. That's what God says. Now, we just talked about this. God says, I want you to live a life that is pleasing to me. That's verse number one. I'm not going to rehash it, but I'm telling you that I live a sanctified life because God says, that's pleasing to me. That brings me pleasure, literally. That brings me pleasure. For everything that God does for you and me. Isn't it a wonderful thought that I can do anything that would bring him pleasure? He says, this is what pleases me. When you understand the importance of sanctification and what I have done for you, that you can be forgiven of your sin, that you can be set apart and live a life of dedicated service to me, don't you know what I've done for you? This pleases me. This brings me pleasure. That's a good reason, isn't it? That's really all I need to know. But that's not all that Paul says. Yes, I live a life, a sanctified life, because that pleases God ultimately. But God says it goes beyond this. This is for your benefit. Yes, that pleases me, but you live a sanctified life because it's to your benefit. This is a way to prevent immorality in your life. If you will remember that you have been sanctified and you live that life that's been set apart, dedicated in service to me, this is a way that you prevent yourself from falling into immorality. You see, this is how you stay set apart. Oh, you mean that once I'm set apart, I still have to do something? Wait, you mean that once I'm set apart, once I'm saved, you're saying that I don't just stay there? No. This is an ongoing process, isn't it? Once I have been set apart, I have to continue to be faithful to God in order to continue to be set apart. And so he says, this is how you prevent immorality. This is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality. If you look in chapter 5 and verse 22, it's a great memory verse. You would do well to memorize it. Paul says, abstain from what? Every form of evil. Abstain from every form of evil. You see, if I lived a sanctified life, that's exactly what I'll do. I will stay with God. I will abstain from every form of evil. Now, just humor me for a second, please, and look at what Peter has to say. You see those verses on the screen? Just look at them, please, for just a moment. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 11 and 12, Peter says, beloved, I beg you, as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works, which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. Live a sanctified life, abstaining from fleshly lusts. Be an example that others would do well to follow. But notice this in chapter 4 and verse 1. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 1. Bring Jesus into the conversation, please. Therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same mind. For he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh for the lusts of men, but for what? The will of God. You see it? You're no longer living according to the flesh, lusts of men, according to the flesh, but for the will of God. For we have spent enough of our past lifetime in doing the will of the Gentiles when we walked in lewdness, lust, drunkenness, revelries, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries. The will of the Gentiles compared to the will of God. If I'm going to live a sanctified life, I am not following the will of the Gentiles. I'm following the will of God. I will not give in to these desires of the flesh. I will not give in to immorality. I will push and strive to live a life pleasing to God, just as Jesus did. Again, we're not going to be perfect. He's not expecting it. But he is saying, I want you to live as you've been sanctified. Abstain from immorality. Isn't that powerful? The way we look at this, reminding ourselves what God has done for us, and the desire we should have to live sanctified lives. He says, this is for your own protection. I'm doing this for your good. I have saved you. I have cleansed you from your sin. And this is what you need to do. Live a sanctified life to control your lusts. That's the context we're dealing with tonight, brethren, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. This is the will of God, your sanctification, that you abstain from sexual immorality. That you abstain from the passion of lusts. Again, we go back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And you look at that verse and it talks about the passion of lusts. And when we talk about passion, we're talking about urges that we allow to get out of control. When we talk about lust, we talk about these cravings, these desires that we allow to get out of control. And so when you put that all together, they're very similar. I get it. But passion of lust, when you put that all together, cravings or desires that have taken control of you, and you have abandoned all restraint. You finally reach a point where you say, you know what? I'm going to go this way. I'm just going to abandon restraint. I'm not even going to try to control myself anymore. I'm out of control. I do not want to live a sanctified life. In essence, what you're saying is, I don't care anymore what I have in Christ, and I will just give that up, and I will not restrain myself any longer. That's what's condemned. Because the Bible says that we need to be those who possess self-control. Self-control. Where? Where am I possessing self-control? In the presence of God, in the presence of God's people, in the presence of those who are not God's people, and in private. And in private, I will control my lusts. Listen to me. God did not make us as human beings to be animalistic. Just hop in bed here or there. Just go wherever you want to go. Just let your lusts carry you wherever they will. He didn't make us that way. He didn't make us to be without self-control. Sexual immorality, that's the context we're dealing with. There's a running rampant of jumping from bed to bed, of hopping in with whoever, wherever, at any time, right? This is the world we live in, though. A very sexualized world. And it's condemned because we are to maintain self-control. The viewing and use of pornographic material is sinful behavior. But I won't try to stop this without seeing the beauty of God and what I have in Jesus Christ as being sanctified. You understand? This comes down to understanding what Jesus has done for me. And so I will control my lust. I will strive to control my lust. And this, as I live a sanctified life, will keep me ultimately from rejecting God. Rejection is setting aside. And so these people actually reached a point in their lives, and Paul is saying, watch out, lest this happen to you, that you take the will of God and you set it to the side. Don't do that. He's done too much for you. That's what we're talking about. As I live a sanctified life, a life of dedicated service to God, this is a safeguard to rejecting God. I don't want to reject God. That's going to lead to hell. And I don't want to go to hell. I want to remember what Jesus has done for me. And I want to let that motivate me to live a sanctified life. That's what we're dealing with. And the last question is this. A little bit of application, maybe. How? I see where I am to live a sanctified life. We've answered why we are to live a sanctified life. But it really boils down, maybe, in your mind, to how do I do that? You see, the world that I live in, it's so hard to live a godly life. It's so hard to live a life that's dedicated to the will of God. I find myself being tempted in every direction to turn away from God. Living this sanctified life, this is really, really hard for me. Adam, don't you understand what's going on in the world around us? Don't you understand the temptations that Satan is constantly throwing my direction? Yes. But more than that, so does God. He knows what we're going through. He knows the struggles that we find. How do I live a sanctified life? I rely on Him to help me take control and honor Him with my body. You know what? How I would do well to remember 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20, that my body is really not mine, right? That it is His, that I've been bought with a price. How do I live a sanctified life? I rely on Him to help me take control of and honor Him with my body. That means that I ask Him to help me. God, please help me control where my eyes are looking. Help me, please, to control the thoughts that I'm taking in to my mind. Help me to think about how I present myself when I am in front of others, my brethren, and those who are lost. Help me, as I am in private, to be thinking about having control of myself and what I am watching and what I am listening to and what I am doing. Because it matters. This is the will of God. Your sanctification. You living a sanctified life. You giving thought to what you do and where you go and how you dress when you go. Yes, modest dress comes into this conversation. If I am to live a sanctified life in front of the world and in front of God's people, then I need to be concerned with the way I present myself. Remember when sin entered the world in the garden and Adam and Eve, they sewed fig leaves together and they thought they would make themselves a covering? You remember what God thought of that covering? You see, I got to think that that covering was very similar to covering that we might find people trying to use today. I heard a story yesterday or today of a lady walking through a public airport in a bikini and a mask. And they said, oh, that's okay because you have on a mask. It's not okay. I got to think that's probably something like what Adam and Eve tried to cover themselves with. And God said, no! No! Not good enough. And he slew an animal. And he made them coverings. And if you study that and you look at the coverings that God made for them, in all likelihood, these are coverings that would have covered from their shoulders down to below their knees. And God says, that is a covering. That is what I'm pleased with. Listen, I never want to be accused of standing behind a bully pulpit. You know, of having a hobby horse to beat. Because that's not what preaching is. And that's not what it's for. And that's not what it's about. But I will emphatically stand and teach what is right. And we're talking about living a sanctified life. You know, we just had the Summer Olympics. You know how much of that I watched with my boys? My teenage boys? Zero. Why? Because there's way too much skin. You think I'm going to put that in front of their eyes? You're crazy. There's not a chance that I'm putting that in front of their eyes. All of that skin, swimsuits that barely cover anything, beach volleyball, are you kidding me? There's no way that I'm showing that to my boys because I don't need to see it either. Females, I don't know what it's like to be you. Newsflash, I don't know what it's like to be you. But I know what it's like to be a man. And men, you're going to have a hard time maybe explaining this to your wives, but you need to give this some thought. I'll say this and I'll move on. I had to apologize to Evan. Several weeks ago, we went to a congregation of the Lord's Church nowhere in this area. And I sent him to Bible class like we always would, right? You send your kids to Bible class. If you're going to go to Bible class and they're going to go to Bible class. Evan came back from Bible class, and I watched the girls follow him out of class, and I had to apologize for sending him in there. Now, this was the Lord's church, and I said, I looked around, I said, you had nowhere to put your eyes. There was nowhere for you to look. There was skin everywhere he turned. It ought not to be that way for those who are living sanctified lives. Dads, that's on you. That's on you. That's not on, I mean, mom, yes, but dad, that comes down to you. This is important as we live sanctified lives, where we live in a very sexualized world, and we need to be helping our men to be pure. And by the way, this isn't just an issue with men, is it? You know that to be true. But we are to be those who possess self-control. That's a part of the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5. How do I live a sanctified life? I ask God to help me take control of my body and honor him with it. And I know him and I seek to obey him. That's how I live a sanctified life. How much time are you spending in a week getting to know God? How much time are you spending looking into his word and getting to know him in it? How much time are you spending just looking around at the world that he has created and understanding him more and looking and appreciating and loving him more deeply? You see, tonight we're not talking about Adam's will. We're not talking about Brother Terry's will, Brother Lynn's will. We're not talking about any will of man. We're talking about the will of God. And the will of God is living a sanctified life. I want to seek to obey Him. For everything He's done for me, I want to know Him and I want to retain Him in my thinking always, as they failed to do in Romans chapter 1 and God gave them over. I want to live a sanctified life, knowing God and seeking to obey Him. Can I tell you tonight that it really boils down in my mind to 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 16. You know what that verse says? Yes, you do. The Bible says, God says, be holy, for I am holy. You know what that is? Set apart. God says, I am set apart. You are to stand in reverence and awe of me and live a life that reflects that standing in awe of me. God did not call us to uncleanness, but He called us to holiness. Tonight, I want you to know that this really boils down to what Jesus Christ has done for you and what He's done for me. I will only live a sanctified life if I really appreciate what Jesus has done for me and you appreciate what He's done for you. That He came and He died on the cross according to the will of God. It was always in God's mind. It was always the plan for Jesus to come and die on the cross for our sins. And through that blood, we can be set apart from the rest of the world. We can be set apart to live a life of dedicated service to Him. Tonight, are you a Christian? Have you obeyed the gospel? Have you done what you must in order to be set apart by God? This is something He does, and we need to be serious about it. Tonight, do you believe Jesus Christ to be the Son of God? If you've not become a Christian, this is how you do it. Do you believe Jesus Christ to be the Son of God? Are you ready to repent of sin in your life, to confess your faith in Jesus as the Son of God, to be baptized in water for the forgiveness of your sins? Tonight, your sins, your contamination can all be washed, and you can be set apart, saved, added by the Lord to His church. Why would you leave tonight without doing that? Tonight, if we can help you, that's all we want to do. If you're a Christian and you've wandered away and you need to return, the Lord's invitation is extended. If we can help you in any way, please